Welcome to Doc Talks, a Doctors of BC podcast. My name is Caroline McGeckin, and in today's episode, we'll be discussing how doctors can optimize their physical and online safety. We're hearing more and more reports of violent threats, either physical, verbal, or digital, directed towards physicians, triggered specifically by tension created by the COVID-19 pandemic. These events have incited many individuals and organizations to increase awareness, advocacy, and support for doctors in the face of this rise in violence. A statement issued from the Canadian Medical Association this past September even stated that it has never been more important to stand with our healthcare colleagues and deplore all online or in-person threats. We're going to continue that conversation today by inviting our guests, Carl Proffitt and Julie Jones, two experts from the field of personal safety, to speak to what doctors can do to protect themselves from violent threats. Carl and Julie are currently leading a two-hour webinar hosted by Doctors of BC's new program, Business Pathways, which delves deeper into this topic. More information about the webinar or to sign up can be found on our website or in the show notes for this episode. I'd first like to start by acknowledging and expressing my gratitude to the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations, whose ancestral, traditional, and unceded land is where I work and live. Julie and Carl, thank you for joining us today. If you could please introduce yourselves and give us a bit of a background about the work that you do. Julie, let's start with you.
Thanks, Caroline. First of all, thank you for having us as guests today. It really is a pleasure. Yeah, so as you said, my name's Julie Jones. I'm a former police detective from the United Kingdom. And these days I specialize in online internet intelligence and investigations, specifically around internet and social media-based threats, stalking, harassment, and digital safety.
And good morning. My name's Carl Proffitt. I started my career in the military, transitioned over to policing, and then in 2007 was asked to actually set up the security unit for the organized crime unit that they were creating in British Columbia. So I set up the security for the prosecutions team. And since then, I specialize in setting up security programs for high-risk individuals and high-risk agencies.
Great, thank you. So let's just jump right in. I'm curious to know how the pandemic has changed threats to doctor safety and what forms are these threats now taking? What are you seeing out in the field?
Yeah, you know what's really sad is when the pandemic started, we saw such an outpouring of support for doctors. We had the banging of the pots, we had people recognizing the amount of effort and time that, you know, the doctors and the nurses were putting into the healthcare system. But over a period of time, as more people have become vocal against government's response to COVID, the main pawn in the battle between these two very different opinions has somehow become our healthcare professions. And we've seen them being used and targeted specifically around trying to raise awareness for each other's cause. A good example of that has been the freedom convoys that we've seen in places like Vancouver, where they specifically have set it up that they drive by the hospitals and they're targeting healthcare officials just purely based on the fact that they don't agree with the government's response to COVID.
Yeah, and the same online. You know, the online has become the new battleground for any major cause like this. And we've certainly seen hundreds of new Facebook and other social media accounts popping up, attacking either institutions, certain hospitals, certain healthcare regions, or individual doctors or other healthcare professionals that have chosen to speak out or even just made a random comment on social media, that then find themselves the target of people's vitriol just because they represent something that people don't agree with. So we've seen a lot more targeting online of healthcare professionals and people involved in the medical field, either across their social media or just publicly in news articles and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that takes me to my next question. So Julie, what are three simple things doctors could do today to help protect themselves and their personal information from specifically online threats?
Yeah, first of all, really, it's about reducing your profile generally. So making it harder for people to find personal information about you and just making yourself a smaller target. So, you know, the hope being that if there's not an awful lot of information about you out there, then people will move on or, you know, their anger will subside to the point where it's not worth it. But I would say the first thing is make sure you know what is out there about you. And that might be information that you control or information that other people control about you. And that might be photographs, it might be narrative, written comments, just anywhere that mentions your name or any username. So doing those regular searches, it's not narcissistic. It is important these days for your own personal safety. The second one I would say is make sure you restrict access to your social media accounts. Lock them down, make them private, make them friends only, followers only. That includes your friends list, your photographs, contact information. Just make sure that that is restricted to people that only you want to have them be able to communicate with you or see your information. And send that message out to your family and friends as well. Often our biggest vulnerabilities are the other people in our households or our other family members or colleagues. So make sure that you let it be known that you are restricting your information and you would like other people to restrict information that they post about you as well. And then finally, I would say, and probably the most important one, we hear this all the time, but people don't really do it. That is change your passwords every 6 months to your account. So if there is a breach or you do become vulnerable for whatever reason, the damage that can be done by people being able to access your accounts is minimal. It is easier these days for people to find password information due to data breaches. Passwords should be unique, so should usernames. They should be changed every 6 months, and they should not be stored online in a way that allows them to automatically connect to a certain platform without you actually having to enter something in. So you should have to enter your password every time. Your password should be frequently changed, and your password should be unique for every account.
That's really great information. Thank you. And Carl, similar question for you. When doctors are having in-person visits or when they're in a public environment, what are some simple actions they can take to protect themselves from any verbal or physical violence?
Well, I think the two key factors are, the first one is to have a plan. And, you know, in a situation of violence or aggression, the body has a natural, you know, response. And one of three things happen. You know, you either freeze, you choose to fight, or you choose to flee. Now, the challenge is most cases people freeze. And the reason they freeze is they weren't expecting the situation to occur. It's now happened and they don't know how to respond. So I always say to people, have a plan. And this doesn't matter if you're working in an emergency room, if you're working in your own private practice, or let's say even going on a house call. Have a pre-thought out plan on how you're going to respond in the case of an incident. And, you know, the sad thing is a lot of times when we look at these cases, a lot of people don't think it's going to happen to them. So you could be a family physician and you take the approach at, well, this is never going to happen. So why do I really need to plan? Well, if you have a plan and God forbid it does happen, you know how to respond. Where if you don't have a plan, you're all likely not going to freeze. So having a plan, extremely important. The next one is situational awareness. Just be aware of what's going on around you. You know, we do this naturally when we drive to work, somebody cuts us off, we respond, we get out of the way, we activate the horn, we brake. Same thing occurs when we're dealing with violence. And a lot of times it's telltale signs. So if we're dealing with somebody and we can see they're starting to get agitated, or we're giving them advice, or we're giving them a message that we know they're not going to want to hear, realize that we can actually predict how the outcome could present itself. And a lot of times you can actually predict violence before it occurs. You can see it in somebody's body movements. You can hear it in somebody's voice. So situational awareness, extremely important. Be aware of your environment and know how the environment can change. And either, you know, that change can put you at risk or it can help enhance your safety.
Fantastic. Thank you.
And if doctors wanted to connect with you to ask any other questions, how would they do that?
Probably email is the best way to reach me. I am on socials, but I definitely pay more attention to emails. So my email is julie@human-i.org. So julie@human-i.org.
And for me, you can just get me at carl@profitgroup.ca.
Great. Thank you so much, Julie and Carl. That's been amazing information. And if anyone would like more information about how to protect yourself from online or in-person threats, you can sign up for an upcoming live webinar with Julie and Carl. We also have a previously recorded webinar available to watch, in addition to a tip sheet summarizing the key takeaways and an additional resources from Julie and Carl on our website or in the show notes. We'll also put the email for Julie and Carl in there as well. And thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much, Caroline.
This has been Doc Talks, a Doctors of BC podcast. Watch for more episodes coming out soon on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.